This week, corruption plagues many African countries and impacts every aspect of citizens' lives.
In government offices, when you're going to pick up your documents, you have to, like, a key to.
Each year, the Corruption Perception Index presents an overview of how countries worldwide are doing. In 2024, sub-Saharan African nations scored the lowest, but there are a few countries that made remarkable progress. How can African countries contain corruption? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA headquarters in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Vincent McCorry. Some argue that corruption is an integral part of human nature, but we, the people, create rules, institutions, and laws to contain it, and often they don't always work. The Corruption Perception Index released by Transparency International gives us a snapshot every year of the various levels of corruption in government and civic life, and it also shines a light on the successes of countries worldwide. According to the index, the least corrupt countries in the world in 2024 are Denmark, followed by Finland, and the most corrupt are Somalia and South Sudan. To discuss further the cost of corruption and the efforts to fight it, I'm joined from Berlin, Germany, by Paul Banoba, Africa Regional Advisor of Transparency International. And from Nairobi, I'm joined by Abdi Mahmoud, Chief Executive Officer of the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission of Kenya. Gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, let me start with you, Paul, you know, and maybe we will look at the map that you guys have created on this Corruption Perception Index. You know, many people sometimes question, how do you arrive at some of these results? How do you end up ranking countries? How can you explain to those who sometimes actually question your methodology and how you end up ranking countries the way you do?
Thank you so much, Vincent, and thanks for having us. Important debate. In terms of the index itself, it is a composite index. What that means is we put together the work of a few institutions that are looking into this issue on a regular basis. We call those the sources, who already have their own measures. And these measures are looking into the governance of countries worldwide. Now, these will include the World Economic Forum, the World Bank, some foundations, Bertelsmann Foundation, Africa Development Bank, to name but a few. And they have country analysis that every year assess a number of governance indicators. We select those that relate to corruption, and then we specifically zero in on what those are telling us every year about corruption specifically in these countries. We then put that together in an index that tells us a bit about the public sectors of each of these countries.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Mahmoud, you know, there's report, and this might be older, but your commission, the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission of Kenya, has at some point estimated that the country loses an upward of 608 billion Kenya shillings, which is about nearly $5 billion US dollars to corruption. That's about 7.8 of the country's GDP. First, how can you explain to people how this money is lost when we talk about this money gets lost every year?
Oh, thank you for having us once again. First, I think let's understand that corruption is not an African problem. It is a global issue. And that is why you have the United Nations Convention against corruption. So many times we also do not agree with the surveys that are conducted. But all in all, we do understand corruption is a problem in Africa, though it is not the only continent that has this problem. It's a global issue. So there are many ways corruption happens in the developing world. and also in the developed world. One, of course, the major one is bribery. Bribery forms the bulk of the complaints that we receive as a commission. It forms almost 42% of the reports that we look at or we investigate. Of course, the other one is related to procurement challenges. The other one is, acquisition of public property where people embezzle or misappropriate public funds. So it basically takes various dimensions. But of major concern to us here is bribery at the service points. And I think that is what usually most of our people, the Kenyans, or the public complain about, especially when they want to access services from public officers and public offices. Mm-hmm. So as much as we do not agree with most of the figures put across, but we do appreciate that there is a problem, and the commission, the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission, is the lead agency that has been set up by the government to address the problem that we are faced with. Thank you.
Thank you, and Abdi, for sure. The Corruption Perception Index does cover the whole world. There's a clear, report or ranking of even the Western nations as corruption. And perhaps, Paul, at this point, could you, even when we look at that point, help at the map there, help us understand the colors we are seeing? We see some countries are really red, and others are kind of lighter, like orange and so on and so forth. What is the kind of the differences, especially of corruption, when we compare, say, the Western nations and that of African nations? And what are we seeing?
Thank you so much, Vincent. So we rate the countries on a scale of 1 to 100 using the percentage points. And the countries that score at the top, you did cite some of these. Denmark was at the top this time round with a score of 90. And we have some of our African countries at the bottom of the index: South Sudan, Somalia, Equatorial Guinea. So at the very high, where you have 90, for example, you'll have a lighter color. And at the bottom, you'll have a deep red, to show the countries exhibiting the highest challenge in the public sectors. So that is the color scheme, the color coding. Maybe just to mention that a number of our countries, in terms of an average, we have a global average, which was 43, below 50, and that's the global average. So the my excellent colleague, Abdi, mentions that this is a global problem. Yes. One, we do not have any country scoring 100%. The highest scorer is at 90. Two, we have a global average of 43, which is very low. So the problem is quite significant across the globe. And within Africa, we have an even lower average at 33, which you cited at the beginning is reflecting the lowest regional average across all the regions. Nonetheless, we do have some countries in Africa scoring above this average, so it's not one unified picture. Yeah. We have some countries that, for example, Seychelles, which has a score of 72.
Yeah.
Seychelles has a score much higher than the UK, a score higher than France, higher than Austria. We have countries like Cabo Verde with a score of 62. We have Rwanda at 57. We have Botswana at 67, and all these are scoring higher than some other countries across the OECD.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, and later you will tell us a bit more about what these countries have done different from those that are not scoring so well. Abdi, you did mention that one of the most prevalent form of corruption is bribery, and this is not just in Kenya, but in many African countries, especially for services. But I would say, as a person who has also experienced that kind of situation in my own country, in Kenya, or even other countries, sometimes, in most cases, most people tell us they're irritated every day, not because they're bribing to get a favor or to get so officers can overlook an infraction, but it's extortion. Like, literally, you are forced to give money even when you don't need to give the money, and even if you refuse to, you suffer. So how do you fight that kind of a thing? We see that on the roads with the police. We see that in offices when people want to access things that are actually rightfully theirs. But a person tells you, you have to give me this money, otherwise you don't get it.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, that the only way we can address this problem is from the preventive side of it. Because in many instances, a lot of us concentrate on the enforcement part of it. What we are doing currently in Kenya is we are starting with the school children, school-going children. We are forming what we are calling integrity clubs at the school level. We've also approached the Kenya Institute of Curriculum Development that develops the curriculum for all our schools, both the primary and the secondary schools. We've partnered with the Ministry of Education because we have a generation that is basically lived through this problem, and it is more, it pays more if we go and, you know, try to approach this problem from the direction of trying to influence the younger generation so that they're also not absorbed into this problem.
Yeah.
So that is one aspect. The other aspect, of course, is the law enforcement, whereby if you've been following the media of late in Kenya, the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission has been arresting people who are actually receiving bribes and extorting money from the citizens. You've seen, if you've followed the news of late, that we've been arresting traffic police officers on the roads. That is one major department that we have a serious problem with. We've also arrested people at the airport, the Jomo Kenyatta Airport, customs officers who extorted, bribe from travelers, which also, as a country, we are really concerned because it impacts on our image. The image of the country is dented when a traveler, someone who is either on transit or someone who is visiting our country, you do know how beautiful our country is. The tourism sector is growing, and we really want to ensure that our points of entry are actually friendly, and we desist, or rather we remove these people who are receiving or extorting money from the public.
Sure.
We've also engaged the National Police Service. Sorry, yeah, you can ask.
Well, it's okay. We can continue, but it's time now for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on the cost of corruption. So stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
Sex workers are usually adults who receive money or goods in exchange for consensual sexual services. So if labor rights exist to protect workers, should sex workers be included? On the next edition of Our Voices, we'll explore the issue of sex worker rights, the impact of criminalization, and why some are calling for decriminalizing of sex work. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices. Corruption does not only happen in the top places in Kenya or in the government, but it also happens in the grassroots areas, like police officers asking for bribes, like in government offices when you're going to pick up your documents. Top corruption laws in Kenya, but they do not enforce it. Like, you may find politicians or government officials have been accused of corruption, but they do not deal with it. They take it to the court, but it is a very long and slow process, and they later dismiss it.
I was asked for some small kalungula because of my driving license was expired. So they wanted something small.
During the application of university bursaries, we experienced a form of corruption when it's so hard to get them. You just have to know someone to get it. So that was a challenge, and eventually we left the venue of the application empty-handed without getting the bursary.
Welcome back. Here with Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA headquarters in Washington, D.C. We're discussing the cost of corruption in government and civic life and looking into what some countries are doing to contain it. My guests are Paul Banoba, Africa Regional Advisor of Transparency International, and Abdi Mahmoud, Chief Executive Officer of the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission of Kenya. Now, if I may stay with you, Abdi, so you conclude your thought. You just first heard from fellow Kenyans there talking about how they're being impacted by corruption. And you're saying something about what you're doing to as a deterrence. You talked about police. You're about to explain something, because I have to tell you the truth. Kenya is one of the most beautiful places on earth. Every time I'm home, I'm just so happy. I can be driving and just feel like I'm on top of the world until I see a policeman. And then suddenly my stomach just sinks, because there's no day you won't be hassled by a police officer, even if you've done nothing. So what are you doing on that front? You were just about to say it.
Yeah, we've realized actually most of our problems surround around the powers that the police have within our country. So what we've decided to do is to team up with the Inspector General of the police and the command within the police structure, so that we first of all do what we refer to as systems review. Remember, the systems that our police operate with or on are systems that were inherited long time back. Not much has been done in terms of the reforms within the police. We know several agencies were created to try to reform the police. The Independent Policing Unit, the commission. We also have the National Police Service Commission. But even after all that, nothing much seemed to have happened. So we've now agreed to do a systems review, complete system review, so that we identify what are the loopholes, what are the problematic areas within the police that need to be reformed, so that the police is seen as a friendlier service, as a people-friendly unit, as opposed to the way they are perceived right now. So we are looking at all the structures, starting from the complaint, the police stations, the DCI, the traffic in whole. So after the conclusion of this study, sort of a study, what we'll do is we'll give a report which the police will own, and we will implement those reforms together with the police, because remember, this is a security unit which also has certain limits as to how far the civilian authorities can go into. So that is one area that we think will produce positive results.
Yeah, that will make such a difference. Paul, tell us a bit more about what the countries that are doing well are doing. differently? What is it that they can be, you know, you can point to and say, you know, such and such a country has improved because they took such and such measures?
Thank you so much, Vincent. So let me begin with where we are, citizens. Citizens are an extremely important part of the entire infrastructure fighting corruption, because a lot of measures that we'll take will begin with a report. Now, if citizens either don't trust that anything will be done, or they fear that whatever it is that they report, nothing will be, there'll be some repercussions on them, there is a lot that just doesn't get known. Nobody reports what they've witnessed, observed, because there's nowhere to report, or they don't know how to report, there are no mechanisms. What some of the countries have done is to connect the two, connect the two extremely important points. The extremely important point of political will at the top, ensuring that the leadership is speaking the same language and is going through the system all the way down to the citizen. No corruption. We are serious about corruption, and every corruption, wherever we see it, measures are taken. And then that is sufficiently communicated to citizens so that they trust that something is being done, and they can then report corruption, and the entire chain begins. Mm-hmm. We have seen this in, let me take Tanzania, for example. And I'm mentioning Tanzania for a specific reason. We have been asked, is it actually possible to move on this index? Every year, this index is giving some countries at the same stagnating point. The Africa average is the same. Tanzania has moved 10 points on this index since in the last decade. Since 2014 to the current iteration, Tanzania has moved 10 points. In those 10 years, Tanzania has increased a number of measures, but also communicating these measures to the public that we are serious about as a leadership this issue, and when you report it, something will be done. That's extremely important. It's the same thing with Cote d'Ivoire, if I'm to go West Africa, that the High Authority Against Corruption is increasingly partnering with a number of stakeholders, including civil society, to communicate the measures being taken and to re-solicit the support of these stakeholders in fighting against corruption. Mm-hmm.
And Abdi, you know, that is the one thing that, you know, one would want to know if it's possible in Kenya for, if you listened carefully to the young fellows who spoke earlier, the lady said, you know, we don't have trust that anything is ever taken seriously, that anybody's ever held accountable. Now, the reason why some people say corruption thrives at the lower levels, like at the police on the roadside level, is because they believe corruption goes all the way up to the very top, and therefore it's very difficult to fight it. And nobody knows who to tell. Who do I report to when I also consider the person at the very top, you know, being involved in corruption? And people say there are many cases of large-scale corruption involving high-ranking public officials over the years, but nobody has ever been held accountable, taken to prison, and even whatever wealth they acquired through corruption, you know, getting confiscated. So how do you reassure Kenyans that you can successfully fight corruption at every level?
Okay, first let me start off by saying that it is not true that there are no senior officials that have been convicted of corruption that have been jailed. Just a few weeks ago, we had the former governor of Kiambu County, who is still in jail, who was actually sentenced for receiving, for, you know, being involved in corruption and conflict of interest when he was a governor. Him and his wife, together with the contractors and many others. Last year, we also had an MP, together with the company and other partners, who were also convicted and sentenced to many years in prison. In the last 5 years alone, the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission has recovered over 5 billion Kenya shillings, which were stolen. So it is not factual. It's not right to say that nothing is being done. Maybe what we can say is little is being done, or probably it's not being communicated as it ought to. But we also have a reporting mechanism where Kenyans or any other person, a resident in this country, can make any complaint to the commission through anonymous reporting system. We are there in all the social media platforms where people just need to put in their complaints, and the commission is there to act.
Mm-hmm.
In an average, we do receive about in upward of about 3,000 complaints annually, which we deal with. But it's not possible to deal with all of them. But we have to prioritize and deal with the most important ones.
Yeah. And I want to stay with you, Abdi. Is it also, like, if you can share with us a big challenge? Because, for example, many have seen this as becoming a culture, not only in Kenya, but other countries, of people actually stealing from the government. And it looks almost acceptable. That's why it's very common to see a person who rises from nothing, becomes a public official, and within no time is a millionaire, is very wealthy. And we know, people know that this money is not coming from honest kind of work. This is a result of corruption, of some fraudulent activities. Now, that being almost like a culture, does that make it very difficult for you as a commission?
No, it doesn't make it doesn't make it difficult, because we have what we call the, following the money or the assets that have been stolen by public officials. We have a process where, when we discover someone is living beyond their means, who is a public officer, we do investigate him. And in many cases, we've had assets that he has stolen recovered. Right now, just to give you an example, in June last year, we handed over assets worth, the immovable assets that we recovered from public officials were in the upward of about 5.2 billion Kenya shillings. The cash money that we recovered from public officials that had stolen money from the public was about 500 million Kenya shillings. These were assets that were stolen. And right now, as we talk, we have close to about 50 billion Kenya shillings worth of assets that we have filed suits in court, civil recovery suits, that we think we have the possibility of recovering. So we focus mainly on ensuring that assets that are stolen from the public are recovered, because that is the most viable way of fighting corruption in our assessment. If you ensure that the assets that are stolen are reverted back to the public, that sends a clear message that it is not worth, you know, the pain of stealing the assets, because eventually we will recover.
Yes,
we may not recover all that.
I'm sure Kenyans want to hear more of that, because there's so much money that is lost every day. Paul, before we run out of time, when you look around those, say, African countries, do you see that there's a desire in most of these countries, even when they're not performing well, but there's a real desire, intention, and even a strategy to fight against corruption?
Thank you so much, Vincent. We do have what we call islands of examples, islands of integrity. There are a number of measures that we have seen, and you could say this is something to look at. And some of these are the ones that are actually moving on in the index. At the front line of this fight, our colleagues in the anti-corruption agencies, like the Kenya Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission, and perhaps what we desire to see more of is a flip. We have so much data that shows the problem. We want to hear more of the data that my brother Abdi is talking about. Success.
Okay.
We have recovered
Paul,
this much.
We hope to revisit this later when things have even improved. We have to leave it here right now. Paul Banoba, Africa Regional Advisor of Transparency International, and Abdi Mohamud, Chief Executive Officer of the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission of Kenya. Thank you both for the thought-provoking discussion. We appreciate your time. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. I'll see you next time.